BFM.
It's really softened up and it's gone smooth.
It's time to hear from the Green Party.
Good morning, Steve Abel. How are you?
Good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Just getting into that wonderful day here in Tāmaki. The sun is shining. It felt like it came up a bit earlier today, which is quite nice, as I was riding my bike into the BFM studio.
I wish I was there. It's absolutely dismal down here in Wellington.
Oh, no. Well, pretty mild up here. I mean, I think that weather's coming up the country, isn't it? So we might be getting some rubbish weather here in a couple of days. So, hey, we'll be joining you too.
Yeah.
Now, mate, we're kicking things off with emissions trading. There's been some chat around the government's draft emissions reduction plan being not up to scratch. But just as a general punter, I was wondering if you could firstly bring me up to speed on emissions trading. What the hell is it? My understanding is that at a very basic level, it's some sort of lever for countries with industry that's really dirty to give sort of financial help to countries who are investing in green industries. Is that what is going on here?
Yeah, and in simple terms, that's sort of the objective of it.
Yes.
I suppose I caveat my explanation of it with I'm a bit of an emissions trading skeptic myself.
Yes, to me it seems just a bit like of a wishy-washy grey area.
So I remember seeing a lecture a guy gave about climate change many years ago. He was an engineer and he said, the problem with the climate change problem is we gave it to economists to solve.
Yes.
Rather than to engineers.
Yeah.
Because there's one way of looking at the fossil fuel situation, which is that our society is dependent on oil, gas and coal for its energy supply,
mm-hmm.
and there's yet abundant sources of other forms of energy, wind, hydro, solar.
Yes.
And switching our society from fossil fuels to renewable energy is kind of, in one sense, an engineering challenge, mm-hmm. and quite doable and quite achievable. But rather than just sitting about doing that, economists said, we've got to send price signals to the market to try and convince the market to make that shift rather than directly do it or take regulatory action to make it happen, such as by prohibiting the burning of coal for dehydrating milk powder.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. When I heard that story about how much coal gets burnt to dehydrate milk powder, it's just obscene.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So
yeah.
Just a little side note. It takes 11,000, or produces 11,000 litres of grey water for 1 litre of milk that you produce on the Canterbury Plains.
Man.
So we produce a vast volume of water every time we produce a litre of milk on the Canterbury Plains.
Yes.
And then we take that milk in a tanker to a processing area where they take all the moisture out of the milk and turn it into powder.
Mm. Yeah.
Export. It's just kind of a crazily inefficient use of energy in the first instance. Anyway, but the point is that there was this market signals-based thing. So what they did was they said fossil fuel polluters need to surrender a credit for the amount of carbon dioxide that they emit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're having to pay some sort of cost by putting a unit into a market that can then be traded, a tradable market.
Yes.
And then it just gets more and more complex the more you get into it, because the price on that unit has to be set, and depending on whether it's low or high, it's a good time to buy those units or sell those units.
Mm.
And then on top of that, because the cost of putting those units in would have been exorbitant, for example, for our steel manufacturer, Glenbrook Steel, up in the Whetū Peninsula in South Auckland, they get a discount. They basically don't have to actually pay the full cost of their emissions.
Mm.
So you get this massive distortion where the really big polluters are getting a whole lot of free credits.
Yes, yes.
That's sort of because, oh, we can't make them pay the full cost of their pollution straight up because they'll go bust.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
But the problem is that further distorts the situation, whereas you and I do pay the full cost of our emissions. We're paying for it when we put petrol in our car or when we get on a bus that's running on petrol.
Yes.
We're paying for that. The theory is that the cost of the emissions will go down the chain and the market will disincentivize use of the fossil fuels and shift. Well, it's been an abject failure over the last 30 years globally.
Yes.
It hasn't markedly reduced our emissions. And in fact, you might have heard just today James Renwick saying that carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere are the highest they've been in recorded history. Mm. So it's not working. And the alternative to that is to do direct interventions, such as by saying we're going to put a prohibition on offshore oil and gas exploration, thereby cut off the supply of fossil fuels, and we better sort out how to provide energy for ourselves without that. Or we're going to put a discount on electric vehicles to incentivize people to choose clean energy. Or we're going to prohibit the use of burning coal for dehydrating milk. And those direct sort of regulatory interventions are not favoured in the mindset of basically, you know, neoliberalism, which is that the market is the ultimate.